Let's talk cards. I'm Zach Blackerby. He's Jamie Crossan, and we are talking cards on a Friday, Jamie.
Yeah, buddy. It's the weekend's upon us. We've got several things on the docket. Heading to shows this weekend. I think you are as well.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. But building off of our last conversation, you and I have talked quite a bit, as we do often. But our conversation has centered on something I think that a lot of people can relate to as it comes from your perspective, which is hobby fatigue. Mm. You know, recently, you know, I don't know if it's a combo of PSA. I don't know if it's just the grind of it, but you had shared with me offline that I thought it would be a really relatable conversation, because I think in some ways, a lot of us feel that. Just as an example, I was up till 3:45 in the morning doing my weekly sale. And that's kind of typical. And sometimes it's not that late. But, you know, every week I'm doing a sale of at least 100 to 200 cards on Facebook. And that requires a lot of energy and effort. So I can definitely relate and understand, man, the grind of this can be pretty crazy. So I was interested to kind of pick your brain and ask you, kind of maybe tee you up here and ask you, like, what is it that contributes from your own personal experience to hobby fatigue? Like, what is it that, what are the key elements that are just like, man, I'm just really, the juice isn't worth the squeeze for a minute.
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing about this hobby is there's so many different things you can do within it. You know, you could do the inspecting the card and sending it off to get graded. And then, you know, if your assessment is right, you know, you sell it for an easy quick flip, or the buying and selling aspect of it, or just kind of leaning more into the collecting aspect of it, or the, you know, buying what you like for a long-term hold. I think we're seeing a lot of people do that with goats right now. Yeah. Throughout the hobby. So, I mean, I think, you know, with fatigue, or, you know, some people call it burnout, I think it could be caused by a lot of things. I'm not a psychologist here, but I do think you can kind of pivot and move around. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was doing is buying stuff, you know, for under $50 and, you know, trying to get a deal on that and then flip it. And that was kind of a lot of my bread and butter. And I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to chill on this for a minute. And then, you know, I think another aspect of it is, you know, I enjoy entering breaks. You know, it's the degenerate in me. I enjoy getting the breaks. But right now, the product that Topps is putting out is, I mean, I want to say it's so expensive, but clearly, like, people are still buying it at record rate. So it's not too expensive, but it's more than I'm comfortable spending on a gamble. And so, you know, I think having the opportunity to pivot in this great hobby that has so many different ways where you can get involved. I mean, we just listed five or six different things, and we haven't scratched the surface as far as all the things you can do. And that's just the sports side of it. You know, I'm big into, yeah, TCG and Pokemon as well. So I think, like anything, if you get fatigue in one aspect of it, see if, like, all right, well, I love this, but let me try to attack this from a different angle. And so I think that's what a lot of people are doing. And I'm hearing that pretty commonly with the wax part of it. Mm-hmm. Jamie is like, yeah, I can't spend this much on a hobby box that's got one auto, and the odds of that auto not being a quarterback and not being worth it, it's pretty grim. So you're seeing more people, I think, move to singles, and I'm curious to see kind of what the impact of that is over the next few months.
Yeah. I mean, you raised a lot of valid points. I mean, I think the thing that contributes to my, it's a lot of work. Like, it is a lot of work, and it's fun work. You know, like, I mean, it's a lot of fun. But there comes times where, you know, it's 2 a.m. I mean, just as an example, and I showed you this offline, but I stayed up. I had quite a mail day because I was out of town.
Yes.
And so I'm running the sale remotely because I take the pictures. I have like a light box. And so I take pictures and I post all those pictures and run the sale I mean, and I stay on top of my sales. The way that I do it is I'll check frequently as the sale is running for 48 hours. So I'm on Facebook intermittently and I'm clicking because the way that Facebook works is it's algorithm based. And so if you have a comment, what that does is it kicks the sale up so that eyes can see it. Just one comment, especially if you continue to do it and you gain a reputation as I have. I've been fortunate enough to make a lot of great relationships and have a lot of good buyers. And so I already have a lot of eyes anyhow. But one of the key things is that I'll do is if you're bidding on a card, I'll type in outbid. And so what that does, just me typing outbid will
another comment.
Kick it back up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's another 100 set of eyes potentially, or 50 set of eyes, or 20, whatever it is. And so I'm consistently on that, which, you know, it's a lot, you know, like if a sale's running, a common question at my house is a sale running, because my family knows that I'll be on the phone clicking and updating, which has led to some success. Thankfully, no friction, but all that to say, I come back and I'm manning this sale, which requires so much. And when I got back, I'm telling you, Zach, nice rhyme there. Did you just catch that? But my whole desk was full. Like it was a mail day of epic proportions. And so after we conclude the sale, I also have this. That's a nice little package there. Nice package there. And a nice big package here. And that's going to, that each one of those packages, so fun. But when you have like, no kidding, 15 or 20 of those, then that's the sort of the pendulum. You sell, you buy, you sell, you buy. And what I do with all of that is I will crack it open and then I will log it in my spreadsheet, because that's just the way I operate. I have to know what I bought, what I've sold, what I have in it, what I'm asking, what the comps are. Did the market turn on me while I was waiting for these guys to arrive? Oh, good. It spiked. That hardly ever happens. And then there are times where, okay, now it's dropped a little bit. And so my margins have shrunk, it goes back to what you and I talk about a lot, which is you have to win on the buy. You have to create margins and to protect against that market drop. And so that those three, it's not just I'm cracking open. Sweet. We have a mail day like it would if I'm buying a collector's item, like a collector's card. This is business. And so all of that work, though it's fun, man, it's a lot. It can really be a lot, especially on sale days ending. And now, you know, you go through and you pull. I showed you last night sort of my desk just overtaken with cards. And so what you have to do is you have to go and pull the cards. You have to write the names. You have to send out a DM to people with the totals. And then you have to chase, you know, for the most part, you know, like for the most part, people pay, but then there's those few stragglers or people that you haven't done business with before that you're reaching out to. Hey, got to pay within 24 hours, friendly reminder, try not to be a jerk or, you know, come off poorly, but you're trying to get all this stuff gone because you got another sale coming. And so when you do it every week, like I do, so all of that, man, it can definitely, when you were talking about fatigue, I was like, I can relate to that because it's a lot of work. I haven't gotten to a point where I'm ready to stop by any stretch, but there are times where it's certainly not as fun. Like a mail day is not as fun as it used to be when you've got 20 of them. And what I'm thinking is, okay, I've got to open it. I've got to comp it. I've got to log it, and I've got to take pictures, and I've got to decide which of these are entering the next sale or going with me to a show. Like when I go to a show, I'll take ChatGPT is such an incredible tool, but I'll actually upload in ChatGPT my spreadsheet and say, give me notes on my phone that I can copy and paste that reflects this information, and it'll do it. You know, it'll give me a copy paste note that gives me what the name of the card is, what I paid for it. And so I have all, you know, what I'm asking for it. And so I have all that lot, essentially my spreadsheet in my phone, but all of that is work. All of that is time. All of that can definitely contribute to hobby fatigue for sure.
Yeah. Like with anything, you know, anytime you're doing any sort of work and that's meticulous and repetitive, it's, you can always do that, which isn't what this hobby is for most people. And, you know, I do think you're seeing fatigue outside of that too, for folks that aren't spending, you know, hours every week on a sale. And I think a lot of that has to do with inflated prices, whether it's wax or singles, or just getting burnt on the market because you wanted the fun new quarterback and then it never seems to work in this modern market. Unless maybe you bought Drake May, which, I mean, I think his stuff's actually lower than it should be right now. So, no, that's definitely
right?
a thing for sure.
Yeah. I think it kind of feeds off sort of what we were talking about last pod before my computer decided to do a spontaneous update and abandoned the show for me. That was terrible. Apologies, everyone. But I listened to the rest of that. You handle that like a pro. It's like you do this. So I guess a good question is, what are the warning signs of hobby fatigue? Is hobby fatigue more common for dealers than collectors? Like what are the moments where you're like, okay, what I do need to pivot. I do need to just to step back. What was that for you?
Well, I wanted to pivot to something that I enjoyed. And I think some of that has to do with like safer buys. And I think a lot of smart money right now is getting out of modern, whether it's on the sports side or the TCG side. Like you're seeing in sports, goats are exploding right now.
Yeah.
You and I had a conversation, you know, UPC LeBron. Anytime you set a comp for a LeBron card on eBay, it's like you're okay doing that because the next time that card sells, it's going to be for more. That's just the market that we live in. LeBron, Steph, Brady, Michael Jordan. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. And I think that's worth following because that's where you're seeing a lot of the big money go. And then, you know, in the TCG aspect of it, you're seeing a lot of the big money leave modern sets and go more to mid-era and vintage stuff you can't find anymore. Yeah. And I was in a Facebook group yesterday and somebody posted a picture. I don't know if they were at a card show or a shop, but it was a picture of a Drake May number /5 auto out of Sapphire. And it might've been, I think it was grade. I think it was a 10 and it was stickered for like 11K. And I think the last sale of one is like 10K. It's like, that's like 10.3 or whatever. And people are like, if I can get him to come down on this, like, should I buy it? And all the comments were like, if you're a Pats fan, just buy a Brady rookie card, like buy several because it's just safer. And so I do think you're seeing active members of the hobby get smarter and safer. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be folks that like the prospecting and the risk and all of that. Don't get me wrong, but I do think, people are getting smarter with it and you're less likely to get fatigued, I guess, if you know that you're doing the smarter thing consistently.
Yeah, that's a great point, Zach. I think with our segment, what cost more, what sold for more, you're seeing a lot of, I mean, the thing that we've seen is like, it blows our mind is how did this new card, this good player, nice card. I mean, obviously Shohei and Judge, you've got some outliers that, you know, I think are already goats that are people that are going to have longevity. Mahomes.
Yeah, totally.
Sure. 100%. But someone like a Drake Baldwin, as an example, or, you know, outpacing, which is a great player, bright future, but his story is not written yet. But someone like that, who's outpacing Babe Ruth, or, you know, some of the things we've seen.
I mean, and Baldwin hasn't been playing that long and he's been hurt. Like he's not playing currently. So,
right.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. You're totally right. I saw a post, I don't know if it was Market Movers or somebody posted that like a gold prism Cam Ward paid, like it was the same price as like a similar version of a Patrick Mahomes. And it's just like, what are we doing? Like, what in the world are we doing here?
Yeah. And you know, some of this, it reminds me, I have a buddy in the hobby early on. You know, we all do these kind of things when we're dipping our toes into the waters of finding comps and learning hard lessons. But I'll never forget, he was on some app. I don't know which one it was. Maybe it was like Sports Card Investor app or, you know, some of these random ones that, that'll give you like this. I don't even understand the numbers. It's like, I mean, this fella, he found, or he had a Steve Nash, and it was like a 96 or not, maybe it was a rookie, but it was like a common rookie. And he had listed it for like $800. And I was like, what are you doing? I mean, just out of curiosity, I mean, you know, name your price, shoot for the moon, but
yeah,
like why? And he had said that he showed me the app, and it was like it was just a clunky app that had like this Nash card as a raw for like, I was like, dude, that is that. I mean, like, just ask yourself. I mean, ask yourself this question. And I pulled up like Card Ladder, and I didn't even like pull the card up where it was like a $2 card. I said, just go with me here for a minute. If you have $800, do you want to buy this card, this NBA hoop Steve Nash, or would you rather buy four autos of the National Treasure Steve Nash and then have 200 left over? And he was pretty, you know, I had to admire his consistency. He was like, well, that's what the card says it is, so I'm going to try for it. I was like, okay, man, you do you, buddy.
Good for you.
Yeah, man. I don't think he sold the cards. I think he might still have that Steve Nash 90.
He's probably replaying that conversation you had with him. Yeah, so we got shows going this weekend. You're going to the Commerce Card Show in Commerce, yeah, Georgia. And then I'm going for a few hours up to the Flip Trade Show. It's up in somewhere outside of Montgomery. Is it
Millbrook? Millbrook, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So probably walk that for about 2 hours or so. Not looking for anything specific, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm very cash heavy right now. I sold pretty much everything. So
we'll
see if there's anything worth buying.
I'm sure there will be. They do a great job, the Flip. And I don't know where Millbrook is, but
yeah, it's close to Montgomery.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to hear back from you about how that show goes. Any tips on Commerce? I haven't been to that show ever, so this is a first for me. So like,
yeah, we've visited it twice, and it was two pretty different experiences. The first time a repacker came by and really took a lot of our sports, which was super great. And then most of the people walking it wanted Pokemon. And so we both did pretty well. And then the next time, like hardly any of the people walking wanted Pokemon. It was more of a sports card show. And we did okay. So it was two pretty different experiences.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be pulling the case around, and that's another reason I'm actually leaving today to go to Atlanta, visit some family there, and then we'll be in the card show tomorrow. So another reason I have to log these cards is what I was saying earlier. I've got to get all of that because I want to take these. I'm interested to see how the selling to vendors goes. I mean, the reason I like doing things like this is because it expands that reach a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. going into a new area, a new region that I haven't been in before, and making some new relationships, shaking a few more hands, and just seeing, I like that. I like that part of it. You know, one thing I will say, I kind of jotted down is, when we were talking about avoiding the hobby fatigue, I kind of like what you're doing. Cause I think that if I may, I think that really is a cure. I think that when you start to experience fatigue, get back to what got you into it. Get back to the fun part of it. And I think you're doing that. And I think it's sort of reignited just, you know, a fire, if you will, because it's like, this is why I got into this. This is why it's fun. You know, like, let me go, you know, let me go buy a few LeBrons. Let me chill out on all the sales and the work for a week or two or a month or whatever it is. And let me find that. I think that it really is a cure for the fatigue. It's a collector's mindset, because this at the heart of this is a collection. This is a hobby. Right. And that's what we love. We're grown men collecting cardboard, right? Like, you know, we love sports, and we like cool stuff, and we like feeling like a kid.
In the last
again.
7 days, I've bought 5 Ramondre Stevenson one of ones, because why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And good for you, buddy. I mean, it's so funny because I'm always looking for LeBron, but like, there's probably for the last few months, I haven't really bought a lot of personal collection stuff. But I think as a result of our conversation, you know, because you are who you hang out with a lot of times, who you talk with, and, you know, the things you're going through, the things that you do, vice versa, Elijah, some of our other friends, Hambone, some of these guys, like, as we talk and we carry on relationship and conversation, it's like, man, I want some LeBron cards, you know, like I haven't bought any in a while. And dude, like buying that stuff is fueling. Like it does.
Yeah,
remind
you pay for
you.
It with the work that you've done in the hobby. At least that's how I handle it.
Me too. So, yeah, for sure.
So. All right. Fun stuff. Good luck this week in commerce. Hopefully we have a good time and at the flip. And we'll see you. We'll see you next time. Please like the video and subscribe. If you're tuning in on audio, please subscribe, leave us a review. Helps us show out. We'll see you next time. This has been Let's Talk Cards.